he hadn't intended to, but he'd dropped off to sleep. He glanced eastward, where dawn was sending up the first faint promise of color. Tobe saw it, too.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yep.
I wouldn't picture Roan Hardesty as being the type to keep a bunch of chickens around.
There was something awfully domestic about a set of clucking hens.
Maybe he enjoys wringing necks.
More likely just favors eggs. Old men get contrary about what they eat, and tough old men can get awful contrary.
Dundee could see the cowboys stirring around, and he knew they hadn't slept much, most of them. From the dark pockets under Tobe's eyes, Dundee could tell he hadn't.
Oh, I could sure stand a cup of hot coffee.
And we'll cook breakfast in old Roan's stove.
Dundee sent a cowboy to carry word to all the men who encircled Blue Roan's layout. They would move in 15 minutes. Everybody was to watch Dundee. When he broke into the open, they were all to ride fast and try to get as close as they could. He took out his watch and marked the time. He'd gone without a cigarette all night. Most of the 15 minutes were up when the cowboy came back. Dundee saddled his horse and checked his saddle gun.
Everybody here ready?
Old John Titus sat waiting. Dundee couldn't tell whether he had slept or not. He doubted it. In fact, he doubted that Titus had really known sound sleep since Dundee had brought him word about Sun. Dark shadows framed the eyes that seemed drawn back into the stony face. But there was an incandescence in those eyes, a fire that Dundee feared it might take a lot of blood to quench.
I seen everybody. They'll be looking for you.
The saddle gun in his hand, ready for use, Dundee swung up. He glanced around to be sure the others were mounted.
Let's go amongst them.
He touched the bay's ribs firmly with the spurs and brought the horse into a long trot down the slope. When he hit the flat terrain, he spurred into a hard lope. Around him, he could see the other riders closing in, following his lead. The horse's long stride reached out and gathered in the yards. The outbuilding seemed to rush headlong toward him, and he expected any second the puffs of smoke, the crackle of gunfire. He could see the windows now and count the panes. They were getting that close. The horses running full tilt, the dust lifting in plumes as they crossed the grassless roundup grounds near the corrals. He watched the windows, for that was where the firing would come from, most likely. It didn't start.
Maybe they're waiting for us to get close so they can't miss. They'll wait for us to poke our faces in those windows and then they'll blow our heads off. It's a damn fool way to do it anyhow. Smart man would have sneaked us in there like a bunch of Injuns.
He was into the yard now, not 100 feet from Blue Roan's log house. Dundee realized he was holding his breath, his lungs afire. The last few feet, his heart was beating so hard he thought he could hear it, but it was only the hoofs. Then he was at the house itself. He swung his leg over the bay's hips before the horse slid to a stop. Dundee jumped free and lit running, expecting a blast from the nearest window. He flattened against the rough logs. He realized that not a shot had been fired. He didn't wait to puzzle it out. He ran for the door. Leaping inside, he saw only empty tin cans and dirty dishes, a whiskey bottle on the floor, an unmade bed in a corner, a single dark stocking lying on the blankets, the kind the Wheeligo girls wore in the saloons. Dundee examined the messed up plates and found the food had dried. Nobody had eaten here since sometime yesterday. He whirled at the sound and lowered the carbine as he saw Tobe Crane.
There's nobody here.
Maybe the bunkhouse.
Boy's been there already. There was a lamp on the table, coal oil all used up, and the chimney burned black as pitch. They fooled us, Dundee. They must have known we was coming. Looks like they slipped away and left that lamp to fool us.
Stepping outside, Dundee watched the boys search the barn, the corrals. He let his gaze drift to the hill from which they'd started. Tobe Crane was looking the same way.
Maybe it's a good thing there wasn't anybody here. We'd have made perfect targets.
I never claimed to be no West Point wonder. Leading green cowpunchers into a gunfight ain't my bowl of chili in the first place.
Maybe we ought to have known we couldn't fool an old fox like Roan. He's got eyes in the back of his head, maybe in his rump. Maybe old Roan took to the Tulies.
It'd take more than this bunch of cow nurses to scare Roan Hardesty out of a place like this and away from a fortune in burnt cattle. I expect he took out for runaway, where he'd have extra men and maybe a better place to fight.
Old John Titus silently stared at Dundee, the disappointment keen in his pinched eyes.
Mr. Titus, we better send for more help. If Roan has holed up and run away, and I figure he has, there ain't enough of us to root him out. These cowboys of yours have their hearts in the right place, but, well, very little else.
That's already took care of. Before we left, I got word out to other ranches around us. Told them what we was fixing to do. I told them to send men to Runaway. This is their fight, too.
More cowboys? What we need is rangers.
I waited till the very last to send word to the rangers. I didn't want them getting in our way. They get kind of sticky about rules. Let's burn it all! Then we'll get on down to Runaway.
Dundee had been on this hill overlooking Runaway so many times that he had just about all of the town memorized. He thought by now he knew the position of every building, every outdoor convenience, every rain barrel. Looking down, he decided everything was in its proper place. Nothing moved, not even a jackrabbit. He sensed Tobe Crane sitting on his horse beside him.
Well, they're down there all right, just waiting for us.
How do you know? I don't see a thing.
That's how you can tell.
So that's the place? That's the rattlesnake den that killed my boy?
That's Runaway.
It won't be there when we leave.
They're ready for us. We ain't got the manpower just to ride in and take it over. They'd cut us down like weeds. Maybe we ought to leave Runaway alone. There's a heap of little rustler camps we could handle instead. With them gone, Runaway would wither anyhow.
We didn't come to catch a handful of rats. We come to wipe out the nest.
It's a hell of a big nest.
We come to take it.
Dundee turned in the saddle and looked back over the cowboys. 30 of them he had, plus a wounded Tobe Crane and a bitter old man whose hatred was far steadier than his gnarled hand.
It won't come cheap.
I'll pay the price. You afraid, Dundee?
Ain't like being in church.
They can be taken. We got enough men to surround the town and keep anybody from getting out. Sooner or later, they'll have to give up.
They probably got enough food to carry them a while. I know they got lots of whiskey.
You'll see, Dundee. They'll break down. They'll get nervous waiting, and sooner or later they'll try to bust out. We'll be here. We'll be ready.
It'll scatter us pretty thin, trying to surround this old town.
When the will is strong enough.
Well, we'll try it your way, Mr. Titus.
You're damn right you will.
Along the way, Dundee had tried to make a study of the men and pick out the best fighting prospects. Two or three of them, he judged, could as well be down there and run away as up here waiting to lay siege to it. But so long as they were in on it, he was glad they were on his side instead of against him. He started down off the hill and began a wide circle of the town, dropping off a man here, a man there, at fairly regular intervals where there was cover. About every third or fourth place, he dropped one of the men he thought might be better than average with a gun. He placed the men in a wide semicircle. The bluff itself effectively sealed off that side of the town.
If they decide to try a break, they'll go for what they figure is the weakest spot in our line. One man won't be much hindrance to them. If you see trouble, burn leather getting there. A man on that spot will need all the help he can get.
Dundee didn't really expect any such break. The outlaws probably felt a strong confidence in their superiority over a little bunch of green cowboys. If they'd wanted to leave Runaway, they would have done it before this posse got here. The men all placed, he paused at the foot of the hill and looked at the town. Curiosity began to nettle him. How close could they get in there? The wagon yard caught his eye. It struck him that if the wind blew hard enough, and if a man could get to that barn and drop a match into dry hay, fire might speed down the street, touching off first one building, then the next. It was a narrow odds bet, but he'd taken risks ever since he'd left home as a kid. Gambling that he wouldn't starve to death. He'd almost lost that bet. He touched a spur to the horse's ribs and decided to see just how far he could get. He quickly found out. He whirled and spurred for the hill. His curiosity was satisfied. John Titus and Tobe Crane waited on top of the hill. Tobe was not physically able to contribute much. It amazed Dundee that he'd gotten this far without dropping from exhaustion. And he knew he couldn't count on the old man for much action.
Well, sir, I reckon you can see they've dug in like lice in a buffalo robe.
They can't stay forever.
Presently, Dundee's eye was caught by movement in the street. Then at the wagon yard, a man rode out of the corral with a rifle in his hand, waving a white cloth tied to the end of it. He moved toward the hill.
They're giving up?
Not hardly. Not when they got most of the chips on their end of the table. I expect they want a palaver. I'll go down there and see what it's all about.
You watch them, Dundee. It tickle them to see you dead.
I'll watch. That idea don't appeal to me.
Dundee took his time, his gaze never straying far from the horseman who held the rifle with the white cloth. It occurred to Dundee that the rifle was probably loaded, just in case. His lips dry, his nerves wound tight as a watch spring, he strongly considered drawing his carbine and making sure it was loaded too, but he resisted. He recognized Jason Carnes. Now he knew that rifle was loaded. He stopped and let the bestubbled Carnes travel the last few lengths to meet him. They stared cold-eyed at each other a minute. Dundee noticed how the man's leg was held out stiffly away from the saddle.
I see you still got that little souvenir I gave you. I bet that was you shot at me a little while ago.
It was.
I'm pleased to find your aim ain't much improved.
It'll get better. I got me a crippled leg now. They say when a man loses one thing, he gains someplace else. I'm counting on a better shooting eye.
You ought to have counted on your horse picking eye and cut you out a fast one to get you away from here. There's an old man up yonder on that hill who's come to see blood.
He's still on the hill, though. And that's as far as he's gonna get, except under a flag of truce. That's what Roan sent me for. He wants to parley with old man Titus.
I'll ask him.
Roan says tell the old man not to bring a gun, and Roan won't bring his either.
And maybe right into a trap, no thanks. The old man may come without a gun, but I won't. I'll come along to be sure don't nothing happen to him.
Fair enough. And I'll be here to take care of old Roan, in case one of your bunch gets a foolish notion.
Carnes slowly turned his horse around and started back toward town. He shifted his body in the saddle so he could watch Dundee over his shoulder. Dundee wasn't even that trustful. He waited until the distance between them had stretched to a good 50 yards before he brought his bay around. He carried the message back up the hill. John Titus clenched tough fists.
I got nothing to talk to Roan about.
You say you figure on staying here and starving him out if you have to. Maybe you could convince him of that.
I won't make him no promises I don't intend to keep. And I know what I plan to do with Roan when I get my hands on him.
So did Dundee. The thought gnawed on him for a long time.
It won't hurt to go down and talk.
Dundee prevailed on John Titus to leave his pistol and his saddle gun with Tobe at the top of the hill. They started down together. In town, a long way off, Dundee could see two horsemen leave the corral and start toward them. Jason Carnes was still riding the same stocking-legged black he'd been on a little while ago. The other figure was the unmistakably blocky one of Roan Hardesty, riding that dappled gray he favored so much.
How long since you've seen Blue Roan?
Many and many a year.
You may not know him then.
I'll know him. I'd know his hide in a tan yard.
A tiny group of live oaks clustered below the hill. There Dundee and John Titus stopped to wait, for it was about the halfway point. Dundee had brought his saddle gun across his lap now, ready. He noted that Jason Carnes had done the same. Roan Hardesty didn't rein up until his horse was touching necks with that of John Titus. The blue splotches on his face stood out like the dapple marks on his horse. His eyes were soft with an offering of friendship.
It's been a long time, John.
Hardesty held out his right hand. John Titus let his own hands remain at his sides. His eyes were as cold as December and seemed to freeze onto Roan Hardesty. He made no effort to reply. Roan slowly drew back his hand and rubbed it nervously on his huge leg. He looked down a moment, framing his words as if each might fall back and crush him.
John, I feel real bad about you, boy. Maybe Dundee has told you. I gave orders there wasn't nobody to kill him. I turned this town upside down trying to find out who it was went against my orders. Nobody will own up to it. I swear to you, John, if I knowed who it was, I'd kill him myself.
I come to see you die, Roan.
We was friends for a long time, John. We warred together, remember? We rode the brush together. We seen the elephant and heard the owl hoot.
I got a boy dead now, Roan.
John, I've took a lot of your cows. Lord, I wouldn't deny that. But I never took your son. I never had no intention for harm to come to him.
I come to see you die.
The silence between them was long and heavy. They stared at each other, the outlaw's eyes regretful, Titus's eyes cold and grim.
Well, John, I've said all I can. I'm sorry the way it all happened. We was friends a long time. But if this is where friendship has to end, so be it. You can't take our town. Not with what you got here. You'd never even get into the street.
We got you all bottled up. All we gotta do now is outlast you. I'll stay all summer if I have to. And into the fall.
Roan Hardesty looked around him, trying to pick out the places where Dundee had stationed the men.
What you got, John? 25 men? 30? And just cowboys at that. I'll tell you something you didn't know. I got friends scattered all over them hills. I sent word last night to the Forks of the Creek. When they all get here, it'll look like the Confederate Army. They'll run over your bunch like wild studs over pet ponies.
Dundee tensed. He hoped it wouldn't show. This was one thing he hadn't considered, that Hardesty might get reinforcements in substantial numbers.
We'll take care of ourselves, Rome. Tell your men that every time one of them sticks his head out, somebody's going to take a shot at him. They'll get almighty tired of dodging every time they need a bucket of water or a sack of beans.
I'll tell them, John. There's some women down in town, and a few men that got no part in this. Ain't fair to risk getting them hurt. I'd like to send them out, John.
Send them, then. We got no war on against women.
Dundee watched John Titus's face as Roan Hardesty slowly rode back toward town. If a momentary softness showed here, it was quickly covered by a steely determination.
I think he's telling you the truth, Mr. Titus. I don't think he knows who killed Son.
In a little while, a horseman appeared outside the barn, a white cloth tied to a long stick. He rode into the clear, stopped, and waved the cloth from side to side so everyone could see it. Then he turned in the saddle. Out from the corrals came two buckboards and a wagon, trailed by a second horseman. Even at the distance, Dundee could see the ribbons and streamers and colored dresses.
The women, they're coming out.
No children?
This ain't exactly a family town.
The front rider, carrying the white cloth, was the wagon yard operator. Behind him, in the buckboard, Dundee could recognize Katie Long. Driving was the little bartender, Cricket. As they came up, even with Dundee, Katie motioned for Cricket to stop. She looked Dundee straight in the eye, and he thought she might be laughing a little.
See, Dundee? I told you you'd be back.
And I told you to sell that saloon, did you?
Nobody made me an offer.
Pity.
You don't really think you can take that town, do you? With that bunch of men?
Titus says we'll take it, so we'll take it.
Roan Hardesty says he won't. He doesn't make many mistakes.
He's made one.
Dundee waved the group on. The horseman who came along behind the wagons was a middle-aged, portly gent Dundee hadn't seen before.
Mr. Dundee, my name is Smith, and I am a legitimate businessman. Now, I own the mercantile down there. I have a considerable investment. What you're doing here is jeopardizing my property, and I'd like to see it stopped immediately.
Oh, you would?
I would dislike having to protest to the state authorities, but I will if I must. You have no right to stand in the way of an honest businessman and disrupt his trade.
Well, now you just go right ahead and protest if you want to. About 2 days' hard ride east will get you to Austin. 3 days if that saddle makes your rump sore.
He hoped the women would go on, but they didn't. They moved a little way down the road and proceeded to set up camp. Dundee thought about all those women and all those cowboys. He couldn't keep up much of a siege when half the men weren't on duty. He swung onto the bay and trotted down to where the women were struggling to set up a couple of big tents. He noted that Katie Long was not among them, a point which brought him considerable satisfaction.
You can just take that thing down and put it back in the wagon. You're not going to use it here.
The big red-headed woman he'd had a run-in with before came stalking forward like an angry she-bear, her hands on her hips.
Who the hell says so?
Me.
She looked back over her shoulder. The women had the tent just about set up.
Now, Mr. Tall, Dark, and Ugly, what do you intend to do about it? Are you low down enough to shoot a woman? You'd have to, you know, before we'd take that tent down.
I'd ask you real polite.
Well, we won't take it down, so what do you do now?
Then I'll take it down.
Dundee lifted his horn string and freed his rope. He shook out a loop and spurred the bay into a brisk trot, nearly bumping the redhead before she could jump aside. He swung the loop while the woman ran. He dropped it over the top of the tent, jerked out the slack, dallied the rope around the horn, and spurred the bay into a run. The tent stakes flipped out of the ground, and the tent came sailing after him. The horses took a wild-eyed look at the flying apparition and stampeded. The wagon bounced behind them, scattering clothes and camp goods for 200 yards up the trail.
You son of a bitch!
Dundee stopped and freed his rope, recoiling it. He rode back into a circle of shaken, angry women, his gaze fastened on Redhead.
Like I was saying, you ain't stopping here. I'll go fetch your team back and you'll be going on your way.
He rode up the trail to where the team had finally stopped. At the side of the road, Katie Long had halted her buckboard and had witnessed the excitement from afar. Now she watched, grinning, as Dundee approached.
You play rough, Dundee.
Them women got no business here. They'd just be a temptation to the men.
Am I included?
You're not like them others. But you would be a temptation to me.
Well, thanks for that.
Bartender Cricket helped him take the wagon back. Dundee didn't leave till he saw the women on their way. Even then, he knew they wouldn't travel far. He had seen cows that would move only so long as a horseman pushed them. When he stopped pushing, they would stop moving. Dundee knew the women would move on a mile or two, then stop again, confident that Roan's bunch would win and they could go back to Runaway. At least now they'd be out from underfoot. At the hill, he watched with John Titus and Tobe Crane as a man started across the street from one saloon toward another. Half a dozen rifles rattled from vantage points around town, including a couple on top of the cliff. Dust kicked up in half a dozen places. The man turned and trotted briskly back to where he'd come from.
Not very good shots, are they?
They try.
Trying ain't gonna be enough.
Hardesty's men were trying to find the places where the cowboys were spotted. So far as Dundee could tell, their aim wasn't a lot better.
Looks to me like a Mexican standoff. We can't go in and they can't go out.
We can wait. Time is on our side.
I don't know. I got the feeling old Roan didn't lie about having more men on the way. I'll tell you, Mr. Titus, if there's many of them, they can circle our outfit and pick them boys off one at a time. It'd be like shooting ducks in a tank.
I told you, Dundee. I sent for more help, too.
You didn't get no promises, did you?
Through the long afternoon, they sat patiently watching. The old man huddled most of the time like some wounded eagle, his gaze fastened on the town. Tobe Crane paced till he got tired, sat a while, arose, and paced some more. It finally got on Dundee's nerves.
You're supposed to be recuperating. Sit down and get still.
Walking don't bother me.
It bothers me. Sit down.
Tobe Crane did as he was told, but he took his time, as if to show that if the idea didn't suit him, he wouldn't have done it.
I didn't much cotton to you coming along in the first place. You don't take care of yourself, Millie's liable to blame me. She's invested a lot of work in getting you on your feet.
Yeah, she has.
Dundee studied the cowboy, his eyes narrowed in speculation.
She's a real pretty girl. A man could lose his head over her.
She seemed to think a great deal of you, Dundee.
I'll admit I've done a heap of thinking. I wonder if I could ever make myself settle down and try to build a home for a girl like that.
You still thinking about it?
Some.
Made up your mind?
Not yet. I'm afraid I know other people better than I know myself.
Are you sure you know, Millie?
I think so.
Tobe Crane pushed to his feet again and stared, wistful-eyed, down the valley.
I hope you don't figure her wrong.
They had salvaged a chuck wagon from Roan Hardesty's place before they put it to the torch. Now a couple of the men cooked supper and the cowboys rode in a few at a time to eat. Dundee tried, but he couldn't stir up much appetite looking down upon that town. They weren't any closer to it now than they had been this morning. He couldn't help thinking that Roan's reinforcements might show up, and then it would be hell among the yearlings. The breeze came up with twilight, a breeze out of the south. Dundee got to mulling again the idea that had occurred to him during the day, setting fire to the town and forcing the renegades out. He hadn't gotten past the turn row the first time, but that had been daylight. With any luck, a man might sneak through in the dark. He told the old man about the notion, and Titus seemed receptive. He would accept anything right now, except retreat.
I'll go down there with you, Dundee.
You stay here, Tobe. You ain't got the strength.
Yeah, that's what you thought before. I go with you.
Dundee didn't argue any further. Tobe Crane was a grown man and able to make his own mind up, even if now and then he did seem to have more guts than sense. From the south, Dundee remembered a clump of live oaks about halfway between their outposts and the first outbuildings of the town. Saddle gun across his lap, he slow walked the bay in that direction, hoping to get done before the moon came up. Dundee could sense Tobe Crane's nervousness. Tobe had punched cows all his life. He'd probably never been shot at till the first time he came to Runaway.
Easy, boy. They spot us, be ready to leave here like a Jeff Davis cannonball.
They made the trees, somewhat to Dundee's surprise.
Yeah. If we get in a jam, Tobe, you run like a devil. Don't wait on me. It's every man for himself.
Dundee moved out from the trees in a crouch, saddle gun cradled in his arm. Because of his wound, Tobe carried only a six-shooter, and Dundee doubted he could hit his own hat with it. But it was reassuring to have company. The first building they reached was a cow shed with lots of dry hay in it. That, Dundee figured, would burn easily. The breeze was still out of the south, and it stood a good chance of carrying the fire through the summer-dried grass on into the rest of the town. But the closer he could get to start his fire, the better the odds. He decided to try next for an empty-looking log shack. He bent low and sprinted across a short clearing. Flattening himself against the logs, he waited for any sign that he had been seen. When none came, he motioned for Tobe. They'd made it this far. Maybe they could do even better. The next building was the frame house where he had found son Titus, whiling time away with the girl, Lutie. He thought it ought to burn with a jolly blaze. He eased out to make a try for it. He'd gone three long strides.
What you doing out there?
Looking for a bottle. You got an extra one?
No. Go find your own.
Duh.
Well, he'd found out how far he could go. He retreated to the shack and Tobe Crane.
If we try to go any further, somebody will chop us off with the knees.
Dundee tested the door and found it open, the shack deserted.
Stay outside and keep your eyes peeled.
Finding a kerosene lamp, he spread kerosene on the floor and up the walls. He saved some and spilled it in a line out into the dry grass as far as it would go. Then he fished in his pocket for the matches.
The boys ain't gonna appreciate this much, so get ready to run.
In moments, the flames were racing through the grass. They found the kerosene and followed it across the clearing and up into the shack.
It's pretty, but let's don't wait for the whole show.
They struck out in a hard run with a clump of live oaks.
Fire! Somebody get that dang fire out!
Fire! It's gonna spread! Get it out!
In a moment, men were running in the street, everybody trying to give orders. Dundee and Tobe mounted up.
Let's go back up on the hill where the view's better.
Dundee, you notice something?
What?
Breeze has stopped.
Dundee reined up and looked back. He saw the shack collapse in a shower of sparks, the flames leaping high, then dying down. But Tobe was right. The breeze had quit. There was nothing to carry the flames any farther up the street.
One cow shed and one flea-ridden shack. But at least we got our exercise.
Dundee got more exercise that night, pacing, worrying, thinking about Hardesty's outside men coming to stop the siege, and maybe laying out a bunch of well-intentioned cowboys in the grass to stay. By daylight, he was up, sleepy-eyed and irritable. He hadn't slept much. He went down and pulled four men out of the line and put them off on horseback to patrol as outriders, to watch for anyone who might be coming to give aid to the town. One by one, he gave the message to the other men.
If trouble comes, the signal will be three shots, fired as quick as a man can pull the trigger. You get on your horse and get there as fast as you can ride. Scattered, we may not put up much fight. Together, we'll give them their money's worth.
Later, Dundee sipped coffee and watched John Titus through narrowed eyes.
Crazy old man. Wants revenge worse than he wants to stop the cattle thieving. He could have cleaned this country up hitting the camp at a time, but he's got to take on the whole town. Crazy old man.
The mood passed, for Dundee thought he could understand John Titus. Once the cattle had been important, but that had been while he still had a son. Dundee turned his attention to Tobe Crane. He thought of Millie McCown. The last thing in his mind as he dozed off to sleep was a mental picture of Tobe holding Millie's hand as they all stood at son Titus's grave. In a flash, Dundee was out of the nap and onto his feet, grabbing at his carbine. He blinked away the sleep and saw one of the Titus cowboys spurring toward him on the trail that led in from the northeast.
They're coming! There's a whole bunch of them!
Dundee glanced down the hill and saw the scattered Titus cowboys beginning to get into their saddles. It would take a while before they could all get here.
Who's coming?
I don't know. I didn't let them get close enough to tell, but Dundee, Mr. Titus, there's a hell of a lot of them. Must be 40, maybe 50.
Dundee swallowed, his fists going tight. This was what he'd been afraid of. He glanced back down the hill again, mentally calculating how long it would take all the Titus cowboys to get here.
How much time we got?
They're right on us.
Dundee could see the dust now, and he knew the cowboys wouldn't get here in time. Not enough of them. At this moment, there were only five. Himself, John Titus, Tobe, the outrider, and a man who'd stayed at the chuck wagon to cook.
Let's get to cover. Maybe we can give him something to chew on till the rest of the boys reach here.
He threw himself down behind a heavy live oak, the saddle gun ready. Old John Titus knelt behind another, rifle resting against the trunk. Tobe Crane lay on his belly, favoring the wounded arm, holding a pistol in his hand. Dundee drew a bead on the lead rider. He would wait until he knew he couldn't miss.
It's our bunch, Dundee. It's ours.
What did you say?
It's my neighbors, Dundee. The ones I sent for. That's old Charlie Moore there in the lead. I know his dun horse anywhere. And that man on the gruller, he's Walter Matthews of the Half Circle M. They've come to help us.
Dundee pushed to his feet and took off his hat, wiping cold sweat from his forehead onto his sleeve. In town, a commotion began in the streets as the new riders showed on the hill. Horses stirred dust. Men ran to and fro. Though the sound didn't carry, there was visible sign of violent argument. Some of the Titus cowboys started dropping slugs down there, adding to the melee. 20 or more horsemen spurred toward the south end of town, toward the river, a span of open country that stretched beyond.
They're trying to break. Let's get them. Huh.
Dundee swung onto the bay and took the lead, moving headlong down the hill, angling southwestward, running over brush and scattering rocks. He took an oblique course that he hoped would intercept the fleeing outlaws. He could see desperation in the way they spurred, flaying horses with their quirts. Some began snapping wild shots toward the Titus posse. Now Dundee could begin to make out faces. He looked for the bulky shape of Roan Hardesty, but couldn't pick him out from the crowd. It occurred to him that the dappled gray wasn't in the bunch. Roan was still in town.
They've run out on him. They seen they was whipped and they tried to run out on him.
He saw one face he knew too well. Jason Carnes on the stocking-legged black. Dundee couldn't hear the words, but he could almost read them on the twisting lips of the black-whiskered outlaw. Carnes raised a six-shooter. Dundee swung his saddle gun into line. It was hard enough making a shot from a running horse. It was almost impossible making one to the right. Dundee tried to compensate by twisting his body as far as he could. He knew he had missed. Carnes pulled closer, within pistol range. Dundee felt a tug at his sleeve, a searing pain as the bullet raked him. Now the range was almost point blank. Dundee squeezed the trigger again. Carnes jerked backward, slipped over the horse's right hip, and tumbled to the ground. Dundee lost sight of him in the dust as horses went over and past him. He saw the outlaws beginning to rein to a stop, trying to raise their hands. Some still spurred, attempting to outrun the cowboys. Dundee's bay was slowing, tiring. Dundee let him bring himself slowly to a stop, for he knew the horse had about done its due. Around him, posse men were gathering in those fugitives who had quit. Others kept up the run.
They'll catch most of them. I better get down yonder and see about Roan.
Moving back toward town in a slow trot, he passed the still form of Jason Carnes. One look was enough. He took no pleasure in the sight, no satisfaction from bringing the outlaw down.
That's two I've took out of the family. It ain't a thing to make a man proud.
John Titus angled down to meet him, trailed by Tobe Crane. The old man knew before Dundee told him.
Roan's still in town.
He wasn't with that bunch. They deserted him.
Not many of them will get away.
I don't care so much about them. I want Roan.
I'll go down there and see if I can find him.
Roan's mine. I'm going with you.
Dundee wanted to argue, but he knew it'd be useless. He glanced at the young cowboy.
You coming, Tobe?
Yes.
Keep a sharp eye out then. A corner bear is apt to bite.
They rode slowly up the street, three abreast. Dundee's sweeping gaze probed the open doors, the windows, the alleyways.
Roan? Roan, you come out here! I want to see you.
No reply. Ahead of them lay the Llano River Saloon. Instinctively, Dundee felt drawn toward it. He'd seen Roan there before.
Mr. Titus, I think yonder's a place.
He rode as close as he dared, then started to swing out of the saddle. Halfway down, he caught a glimpse of movement. He saw the big man step out through the saloon doors, a shotgun in his huge hands.
Hold it right where you're at, Dundee. Don't move another inch.
Dundee halted, half in and half out of the saddle. The saddle gun in his right hand, but not where he could swing it into play. Tobe Crane held a six-shooter uncertainly. John Titus just sat there, staring down into the awesome bore of that shotgun, both hands resting easily on the saddle horn. If he felt any fear, his face did not betray it.
John, I told you not to come down here. I told you I didn't kill that boy.
If you're figuring on pulling that trigger, Roan, do it now. It's going to be you or me.
John, we was friends once. I don't want to have to kill you.
I come to hang you, Roan. I'll do it unless you shoot me.
It came to Dundee with the force of a mule kick what John Titus was attempting to do. He was trying to force Roan into shooting him, knowing Roan wouldn't live to get 10 steps down the street. He was willing to throw himself away to see Roan Hardesty brought to the ground.
Mr. Titus!
Go on, Roan! Do it if you're going to. I'm fixing to draw my gun.
The old man's hand slowly went down to his hip, closed over the pistol there, and came up again. It seemed it took him all day. Roan Hardesty's face whitened, and the blue blotches seemed to go almost black. For a moment, it was in his eyes to pull the trigger, but then his chin fell. Slowly, he let the muzzle of the shotgun sink toward the ground. He leaned on a tie post for strength.
I couldn't do it, John.
Get him, Dundee.
What are you going to do?
Just what I said I was. I'm going to hang him.
You can't do that. You gotta wait for the Rangers.
My boy will sleep easy tonight. The man responsible for killing him will be dead.
Mr. Titus!
Your work is finished, Dundee. I'm taking over now. We'll wait till the men get back. Then we'll take Roan to a fit place out yonder on the river. Runaway is fixing to die. We'll let him die with it.
Dundee glanced sadly at the aging outlaw, his eyes trying to tell Roan he was sorry now that he hadn't gotten away. Roan seemed to understand.
Don't worry yourself, Dundee. I already live beyond my time. I wouldn't lie to you. I don't want to die, but I reckon I've had my day.
Dundee walked into the saloon, sick at heart. He rummaged around behind the bar and came up with part of a bottle of whiskey. He stood in the door, leaning his shoulder against the jamb, drinking straight out of the bottle and watching the cowboys slowly drift in, bringing their prisoners with them. One here, two there, three in another bunch. Roan Hardesty had slumped in a chair that had been dragged out into the street. Cowboys ringed around him. John Titus still sat on his horse, his leathery old face dark and grim. A buckboard came down the street. Leaning out the door, Dundee saw Katie Long, a thin girl riding beside her. The girl was Lutie. The cowboys turned to stare. Katie pulled her team to a halt and took a long, apprehensive look at Roan Hardesty. Then her eyes went to Dundee. She jumped down from the buckboard and motioned for Lutie to follow. The girl moved slowly, reluctantly. Katie rushed to Dundee's side.
What are they going to do to Roan?
John Titus says he's fixing to hang him.
He can't.
With all them cowboys, he can do anything he damn pleases.
It's not right, Dundee. Roan didn't kill son Titus.
Yeah, you know it, and I know it. I think even John Titus knows it, but we can't prove which of his men did do it, so Roan pays.
Dundee, I got something to tell you. I didn't want to, didn't intend to, but now it's the only way. It's got to be done.
Tell me what?
Katie motioned for the girl. Ludi came to her unwillingly, dragging her feet.
I'll let Ludi do it. Ludi, you tell Dundee what you told me.
When Ludi's story was over, Dundee found his left fist clenched so tightly the knuckles were white. He cut his eyes to the girl.
You sure you ain't lying to me?
Frightened, Ludi shook her head.
She's telling the truth, Dundee. Added to everything else, it figures.
Dundee lifted the bottle and took a long last swallow. He rubbed his hand across his face and stalked out into the street. He strode to where John Titus sat on his horse.
Mr. Titus, you've trusted me for weeks now. You still trust me?
Sure, Dundee.
Then trust me when I tell you Blue Roan didn't kill your boy. It wasn't Roan, and it wasn't none of Roan's men.
Then who was it?
I can't tell you yet. I know, but it's something I gotta handle myself. Trust me.
Dundee, I got to have more to go on than this. I got to.
You gotta wait. You gotta let Roan live till I get back. Then you'll know the whole thing. Will you do that? Will you trust me?
I ought not to. But I will, Dundee. I'll wait.
Katie! If I ain't back in a reasonable time, you tell John Titus what you told me.
Dundee, you better take some help with you!
This job I gotta handle alone.
Ahead of Dundee lay the creek, and beyond that, the McCown headquarters. Face rigid, his jaw set square, he rode toward the spring where Uncle Ollie McCown sat watching him. Ollie had his fishing pole, the hook sunk into the water below the spring.
Howdy, Dundee. You all do up your business and run away?
Dundee stared hard at the old man, wondering how much he knew.
Ollie, I'm looking for Warren.
The tone in his voice betrayed him, for Ollie shrank back. Dundee could see realization sinking in.
Ollie, I asked you, where's Warren at?
A big bunch of men rode up here some hours ago on their way to help you all. I reckon you took good care of old Roan and his bunch by now, didn't you?
Now Dundee was convinced that Ollie knew. He might not have participated, but he knew.
Ollie, I know the whole thing now. I'll ask you one more time. Where's Warren?
You know, Dundee, Millie's up at the house, and I'll bet she'd be real tickled to see you back. Yeah, she baked up some cookies, and they sure do go good with a cup of coffee. Well, I bet you and her could find it right smart to talk about. I mean, she thinks the world of you, Dundee. If you used to ask her, she'd marry you in a minute, and you could do a lot worse. Yeah, she's a good girl.
Ollie, does she know anything about this?
She don't know nothing, Dundee. Warren didn't tell her nothing, and he'd beat me to death if I'd ever even handed to her.
Ollie realized he'd said too much. He looked down at the fishing line again. Cold sweat broke out on his forehead.
Ollie, I still want to know.
Sure is hot. Seems like it gets hotter every year. Things ain't what they used to be. Things just gone to hell, it seems like. Time was when the world was fresh and sweet as dew. Now everything's got a bitter taste and there's no pleasure left in being alive. It's hell being an old man, Dundee.
Pitying him, Dundee turned away. He rode to the house. Millie came out into the doorway, trying to brush back her long hair with her hand. She smiled, and her face was so pretty Dundee could feel his heart tearing in two. The joy that danced in her eyes brought the bite of tears to his own.
Dundee, is it all over with? Are you all right?
Dundee clenched his teeth and tried not to look at her. He couldn't help it. He had to look, and he felt his throat tighten.
Millie, I gotta see Warren. Is he here?
He's up yonder working on his rock corrals. What's the matter, Dundee?
Dundee looked toward the rock pens that were the symbol of a man's driving ambition, a poverty-born obsession for acquiring land and cattle, for building a protective wall of stolen wealth around him, so that never again could he slide back into the squalor that had scarred his soul.
There's something wrong, Dundee. What is it?
I'll have to let Warren tell you.
Dundee pulled away from her and rode toward the pens. He didn't dare look back, but he knew she was standing there watching him, confusion and fear crowding in around her. Though she didn't know it yet, her world was about to come tumbling down. Her anchor of security was about to be dragged away. Warren McCown stood behind a half-finished rock fence, sweat soaking his dirt-crusted shirt, rolling down his sun-browned face. Dundee guessed that by his own appearance and manner he was betraying himself, for he could see suspicion in Warren McCown.
What's the trouble, Dundee?
Maybe you ought to tell me, Warren. Maybe you ought to tell me what really happened to Son Titus.
Warren tensed. They stared at each other a long time in silence.
You know as much as I do, Dundee.
Maybe. I think I've figured out some things now. For one thing, I know why you used to have trouble with Roan Hardesty and his men. It wasn't for the reason you said that they were driving stolen cattle across your land. It was because you were in competition with them. Old Roan wanted to run things in this country, but you was stealing for yourself and you wouldn't split anything with them. That time you went south to buy cattle, you went north first. You stole T-bar cattle from old Titus, drove him south and traded them for cattle that had been stolen down on the border. That way you didn't have any T-bar stuff in your country.
Huh. Now you got an awful imagination, Dundee.
Not very. That cowboy that helped you, the first thing he done when he left here was to head for Runaway to fill his belly full of liquor and wrap himself around a soft, warm town girl. He told her things he ought to have kept to himself. Then Son Titus came along and he found that girl. He got her drunk enough that she told him things she ought to have kept quiet. Last time he left Runaway, he was coming here to brace you with the facts. Somewhere out yonder you ran into each other and you killed him.
Warren McCown rubbed his sweaty hands on the legs of his britches.
What do you figure on doing, Dundee?
I figure on taking you to the Rangers. If old John Titus gets a hold of you, he'll hang you.
Titus. It's always been a Titus. I told you my daddy died on a ranch, didn't I, Dundee? But I didn't tell you which one. It was the Titus Ranch. Daddy dragged us there just a week before, the way he dragged us everywhere. Hungry, broke, and wearing cast-off clothes that nobody else wanted. Old man John Titus was so big, he didn't know the names of half his men. I doubt he ever even seen my daddy. Son Titus was just a button then, but spoiled rotten as a barrel full of bad apples. He was playing around the herd instead of tending to his job, and he let a big steer get out. Daddy spurred off after him, and his horse fell. Daddy never knew what hit him. Buried him right there on the Titus Ranch. Gave us kids a couple of months' wages and told us how bad they felt. Well, John Titus has owed us something for that. Something a lot more than a little handful of money.
He didn't owe you his boy's life.
I didn't want to kill him. He forced it on me. He said he'd take away everything we had and burn our place to the ground. I had put in too many years of sweat. I couldn't let him wreck us.
I gotta take you in, Warren. Maybe a jury will see your side and go easy.
What happens to Millie? What happens to this place? No, Dundee, you're not taking me anywhere.
Dundee reached for his pistol. Warren moved suddenly, crouching behind a rock fence and coming up with a rifle.
Don't be a fool, Warren. Kill me and there'll be others. There'll be no end to it.
But he saw the intention in Warren's eyes as the rifle came up into line. Dundee threw himself off the bay. He went down on his hands and knees. For a couple of seconds, he was shielded by the frightened horse. He used that time to get moving toward another section of rock fence. He vaulted over and dropped behind it.
Warren! No, Warren! What are you doing?
Dundee glanced in the direction of the voice and saw Uncle Ollie hobbling up as fast as he could from the spring. Millie ran toward the corral.
Warren! Dundee!
Dundee raised up enough to see over the fence. He leveled the pistol where he thought Warren would come up. He saw the top of Warren's head, then the rifle. Warren arose, drawing a bead. This time, Dundee knew with a sickening certainty Warren wasn't going to miss. Not if Dundee let him fire. He squeezed the trigger. Dundee saw Warren lurch back. He jumped up and ran around the fence. He stopped abruptly, his blood cold. He turned then as Millie came running.
Warren! What did you do to Warren?
Dundee grabbed her.
Midnight, don't go back here.
She beat at him with her fists.
Let me go! Let me go!
She twisted away from him and ran on. At the fence, she stopped.
Warren! No!
The bay had tangled in the reins a little way down toward the house. Walking in that direction, Dundee met the struggling Ollie McCown. The old man looked at him, his eyes begging.
Oh, God, Dundee, how am I going to tell her?
Dundee shook his head, his eyes afire so that he could barely see.
I don't know, Ollie. I don't know if you ever can.
The ride to town was one of the longest Dundee had ever made, seemed like. It was full dark long before he got there. He found the cowboys scattered in the buildings up and down the long, crooked street. The rangers had arrived to take charge and collect any prisoners on whom they had claims. Katie Long was back in her saloon, serving liquor to John Titus. The old man looked up as Dundee walked through the door into the lamplight. His eyes seemed to have softened now. Maybe it was Katie's whiskey.
Dundee, where's McCown?
He's dead.
The old man nodded gravely.
This girl here, she told me the whole thing. Once you was a long way down the road. I reckon it was tough on you.
Life's always been tough on me. Has anybody seen Tobe Crane?
I know where he is. I get him.
John Titus pushed the bottle at Dundee.
Here, have one on me. You look like you could use it.
Dundee took it, though he absently rolled it in his hand instead of drinking from it. Katie returned with Tobe Crane. Dundee looked up painfully as they came toward him.
Tobe, Warren McCown is dead. I killed him. Millie's the one who will suffer the most. She needs somebody right now. I think she needs you.
The cowboy just stood and stared at him.
You love her, don't you? You as much as told me so.
I love her, Dundee.
Then go to her. She'll never need you more than she needs you right now.
Tobe turned to go.
And Tobe, you be real good to that girl, you hear me?
I will.
Dundee turned back to the bottle. He didn't quit drinking till his head was starting to spin. It occurred to him suddenly that he hadn't seen Roan Hardesty.
Where's Roan? John Titus, you promised me—
Don't worry. Roan is took to the Tooleys.
Titus pointed his stubbled chin toward Katie Long.
After this girl here told me what she did, I got to thinking that when the Rangers got here, they'd take old Roan and lock him up, and he'd never see sunlight again the rest of his days. He's an old man, Roan is. He ain't got many years left.
You mean just let him go?
We was friends once. He remembered it. He couldn't bring himself to shoot me. After I found out the truth of what happened to son, I couldn't bring myself to see him rot away in a cell the few years he's got left. So I told him to head south for Mexico.
He's liable to take some of your cattle with him as he goes.
Titus looked surprised, as if that thought hadn't occurred to him. Then he shrugged.
You can't expect an old man to go hungry.
The next morning, the Rangers had picked out the men they intended to take to jail. The rest of the prisoners were turned loose and advised to see how far they could get without stopping to rest their horses. Titus's foreman, Strother James, looked down the emptying street.
It'll be a funny-looking town. Nobody living in it.
It won't be no town at all. We're going to burn it.
All of it?
Every stick. Get the men started at the job.
They began at the far end, setting the buildings afire one at a time. Some had rock walls that wouldn't burn, but the roofs would go up and the floors if they had any.
Mr. Titus, I got money coming. I'd like to collect it now and be on my way.
We need you here, Dundee. I was hoping you'd stay.
I studied on it a while, but I'm afraid this part of the country is spoiled for me now. It's best I go on.
Any idea where?
West someplace. Don't make much of a difference.
I ain't got much cash with me. I'll give you all I got here and send the rest to a bank where you can pick it up. How about Pecos City?
Pecos City be all right. I expect it's a good place to get drunk.
Katie Long had her team hitched to the buckboard and was carrying out what belongings she could put into it. A couple of cowboys were helping her load a trunk onto the wagon. Dundee looked down the street where the plumes of smoke were rising. The men would be to the Llano River Saloon in a few minutes now, sprinkling kerosene, striking matches.
Too bad about your place here.
It's worn itself out anyhow. There are other places down the road, fresh places.
Got any particular one in mind?
Nope. Thought I might ride along with you if it's all right. A woman alone, no telling what might happen.
You can take care of yourself. I don't worry none about that. As for me, I got some problems to think out. It's better I ride by myself. Adios, Katie. Maybe I'll see you someplace.
Maybe you will.
After swinging up onto his horse, Dundee nodded at John Titus, took the trail that led around the bluff and west from Runaway. John Titus disconsolately watched him go.
Dundee's a good man. I hate to lose him.
I don't intend to lose him.
I'm sending him some money. He's supposed to pick it up in Pecos City.
Katie arched her wrist as an invitation for one of the cowboys to help her into the buckboard. Half a dozen rushed to it. Titus looked at the girl, and his eyes came as near smiling as they had in a long time.
Which way are you headed?
Seated, she smiled back at the old ranchman.
I've been thinking I'd try Pecos City.
She flipped the lines, and the team took her west, around the bluff, while the dark smoke that had been Runaway rose into the blue summer skies and slowly dissipated over the rocky Llano River hills. Brush Country is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2006, Elmer Kelton. Published by arrangement with Elmer Kelton, care of Sobel Weber Associates, Incorporated. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Terrence Aselford, Thomas Keegan, Yasmin Toison, Scott McCormick, Joe Brack, Drew Copas, Michael Glenn, Casey Platt, Richard Rowan, Tim Carlin, Dylan Lynch, Ken Jackson, David Coyne, Nanette Savard, Eric Messner, Colleen Delaney, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. Directed by Terrence Aselford. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Patrick Stratton. With original music by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Brush Country, be sure to look for Elmer Kelton's Huey Calloway and Sons of Texas series. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, audio guides, and podcasts. Keep listening for previews of other thrilling titles in graphic audio.
Available now in graphic audio. The war between Dante Valentine and the devil has been building.
Hey, Blondie, you two-faced lying sack of demon shit. You've got business with me first.
Indeed, I do.
Now, all will be settled in one epic final confrontation.
Here I stand, Lucifer, and not all the hosts of hell shall move me.
Not all the hosts of hell are necessary, Necromans. Just one.
Dante Valentine number 5, To Hell and Back. The thrilling conclusion to the Dante Valentine series.
There is more than one way to break a human.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.